This morning we'll be looking at Genesis 4:17 all the way through the end of chapter 5. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to read Genesis 4, verses 17 through 26. Hear now the word of the Lord. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mehujael, and Mehujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other was Zillah. Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama. Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again. And she bore a son and called his name Seth, for she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And yes, I went to seminary so that I could learn how to pronounce those names without stumbling. It is a gift. I feel like so much has changed in the past few decades that I've been alive, and some of you have witnessed even more than that. Given the staggering rate of change that we have witnessed in our own lifetimes, it's natural for us to think that we would have little to nothing in common with people who lived thousands of years ago. But that's not the case. A lot of the details will be new. But if you scratch beneath the surface, we find that the preacher was correct in Ecclesiastes 1 when he said, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. In chapters 4 and 5 of Genesis, we travel back about 2,000 years. No, we travel through about 2,000 years. It's about 4,000 years before now. And we see generation after generation taking us from Adam and Eve all the way down to Noah. And the impulse would be to write this off as ancient and perhaps irrelevant history, having no connection to us today. But I would say far be that from us. Because what we will see is that throughout the generation after generation described here, two significant things are consistent. And those same two things are consistent in our own day, whether we're 9 years old or 90 years old, or like Methuselah, 969 years old. What the generations that lived before the flood could see in the shadows and hints of their day, we see more clearly in Christ, but the truths are the same. So what we're going to see in these generations is two things. We're going to see that in every generation, the curse of sin continues. And in every generation, the promise of God endures. First, we see that in every generation, the curse of sin continues. We saw last week when we looked at the first part of chapter 4, the story, the famous story of Cain and Abel. And after Cain was angered because God did not receive his offering because of Cain's own sinful heart, we saw in verse 7, the Lord warned Cain. He said, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you. It doesn't want what's best for you. But you must rule over it. We saw that instead of ruling over sin, Cain gives in. He lets his anger lead him to murder, and he is condemned by God. And the verses that follow that we just read, they show us the generations that followed Cain, his descendants. And though we don't learn much about most of them other than their names, 5 generations out we get a man named Lamech. And in Lamech we see that things have not improved since Cain's time. First, we see that he has abandoned God's design for marriage. In verse 19, we see that Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. God had created marriage to be a union of two. Genesis 2:24, it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and two shall become one." But Lamech tries to forge three into one, rejecting God's plan. And then we see his character. In verses 23 and 24, he says to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding. I killed a young man for striking. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. Lamech does as Cain did. In anger, he is murdered. And rather than lament it as Cain did, remember Cain said, my punishment is too hard for me, I can't stand this. Lamech boasts. He boasts about what he has done in anger. It starts to feel a little bit to me like Groundhog Day. The story of the movie of Bill Murray's character who is forced to relive the same day over and over and over again until he changes something every time, trying to figure out how to make it right, how to get everything right so he can escape this cycle, this endless cycle. This is a lot like what humanity does. Each generation kind of hands off its problems to the next generation, expecting and hoping that this next generation will figure things out and break the cycle. But it never happens. And sin and the curse of sin continue and perpetuate and endure. War, violence, injustice, depression, disease, death, it all happens again and again and again. Which should make us take note that the problem of sin and its consequences is something we can't cure. The roots are too deep in our own hearts for us to fully remove it. If you have to mow a lawn and you see that there are weeds in that lawn, you can mow it all you want. The weeds aren't going anywhere because the roots are there. Spring up again and again. Again, sin does in every generation. Our technology, our philosophy, our education, our laws, none of these things pull sin up by themselves. They merely trim it down just to go back to it. Sure, there is a lot we need to fight against sin and its curse. We can have good laws. We can have better education. We can try to have good government. We can try to get good therapy. So many ways that we can make things less bad, but the root is still there. And it will always, generation after generation, spring forth. The curse continues. Even for those who do not come from Cain, you know, lest we say, well, that was Cain's family. They had their problem. No. In chapter 5, we see the line descended from Seth. The line that finally leads to Noah and ultimately to Christ. Two things we see how the curse continues even in this line. First, in chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, we see Lamech. Now, this is a different Lamech. This isn't the Lamech who killed two men. It's like in this church. You can't throw a Bible without hitting a Bob or a Christie. Okay? They're everywhere. Okay, there's two Lamechs. Two different generations, perhaps hundreds or thousands of years apart, same name. This is Lamech descended from Seth. Lamech fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." God had cursed the ground because of Adam's sin. We saw that a few weeks ago. And hundreds or 1,000 years later, even among those who are trusting in God as this Lamech was, the curse of sin continues. And even the godly endure painful toil and are crying out and looking for relief, looking for comfort. The curse of sin continues. But we see in one more way in these chapters that the curse of sin continues. If we look through chapter 5, we see from Adam to his descendants, we see a theme. Every three verses, the same thing. Adam, in verse 5. We have that. Yeah, Adam, he died. Seth, he died. Enosh, he died. Kenan, he died. Mahalalel, he died. Jared, he died. Methuselah lived a long time, but he died. Lamech, he died. With one glaring exception that we'll look at in a few minutes, death reigns. That should be no surprise. The Lord had told Adam and Eve that if they disobeyed Him, if they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that day they would surely die, and death has reigned ever since. We see in Romans 5, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death came through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Even the long lifespans that we read about in these chapters, inconceivably long lifespans to our mind, they still don't escape death. They only delay it. And this goes back to what we said a moment ago. The root persists. Whether it is in the family of the boasting, murderous Lamech or the Lamech who looks to God for relief and fathers Noah, the curse of sin continues in every generation, and there is nothing we can do to end it. If the curse of sin is to end, we need someone who can put a stop to both the power of sin and the punishment of sin. That's what we've seen in these chapters. We've seen the power of sin that leads generation after generation into false worship, into false behavior, into murderous boasting. We see the power of sin over us, but also the punishment of sin, the ground that is cursed and death that reigns over us. And if the curse is to end, we need someone who can put a stop to both the power of sin and the punishment of it. The power that corrupts our minds, our hearts, our wills, and our bodies, turning us naturally and inevitably towards evil. And the punishment of sin, the toil and death that it creates. Neither of those things can we stop. It's important to understand that. Because if we don't understand the seriousness of our problem, then we'll settle for insufficient solutions. A number of years ago, we had some friends in seminary who noticed strange smells in their house. And so they tried a lot of things. They tried cleaning more things. They tried washing things. They tried candles. They tried scrubbing. Nothing seemed to solve the problem because they didn't understand the depth of the problem. They didn't know that in the walls of their entire house, black mold had been growing. And at first, like so many of us in our lives, they underestimated the seriousness of the problem. And therefore, they settled for insufficient solutions. If we think, I just need to marry the right person. I just need to get the right job. I just need to have that right bank balance or retirement account balance. I just need to get in the right body. I just need to elect the right party. We just need to enforce the right laws. I just need to learn the right habits. I just need to follow the right guru. If we just do that, everything will be okay. And that's a deception. The curse of sin continues no matter what we do, because we can't stop its power or its punishment. But both of those things are accomplished by Jesus Christ. Sin's power is uprooted when Jesus Christ makes us new, giving us a new heart. In 2 Corinthians 5, we are told, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old, the sinful old self has passed away. Behold, the new has come, breaking the power of sin over us. In Ezekiel 36, we are promised by the Lord, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh and I will put my spirit within you. And what will that spirit do? That spirit will cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. The power of sin is broken when Jesus makes us new. The punishment of sin, Jesus takes that on himself. Just as we heard this morning in our assurance of pardon from Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The death that we could not escape is taken by Christ. The suffering we could not endure, He takes on. He dies that we might live. And so, the relief that Lamech looked for from God comes to us in Jesus. As we heard in our call to worship this morning from Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." He might as well have been speaking to Lamech, looking for relief from painful toil. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Only through Jesus is the curse of sin ended. All our efforts to do better and to be better will not work in the end unless we start with what Jesus has already done. We have to begin with taking His yoke on us because He has already brought us rest. Then everything we do can bear fruit. Then it will not be in vain. But the completion of that victory is still ahead of us. I've drilled down on this point because it's easy for us to look to other hopes, to other solutions, things that cannot end the curse, or to deceive ourselves as just thinking that things will get better on their own, like a stubborn man, and I emphasize man here, a stubborn man who won't go see the doctor about his pain. He thinks it's just going to take care of itself. It'll just get better. How foolish are we at times to do that? And if we think that things will just get better in the world and in our lives, they'll just get better on their own, we deceive ourselves. Only in Christ is there a cure. But in every generation, the curse of sin continues. And in every generation, that should drive us back to Jesus, the only hope for each and every generation. And that leads to the next theme that we see in these verses. In every generation, the curse of sin continues, yes, but also in every generation, the promise of God endures. I want to go back and look at some of the same passages we've seen here because they don't just show us how the curse of sin continues. Throughout the same stories, this other theme is present. Sin's curse continues, yes. But in every generation, God's promise is still enduring. Let's start small. Lamech, the bad one, had some sons. Chapter 4, verse 20. Ada, his first wife, bore Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. Now, briefly, that word father there doesn't mean biological father. It's like we would call Socrates the father of modern philosophy, or the Wright brothers the fathers of modern aviation. You know, it means the forerunner, the beginner, the pioneer, the chief, the one we look to, the innovator. Even in the sinful and misled family of Cain's descendant Lamech, there are good things that are emerging. There are things that beautify our world and make our lives better. The theological term for this is common grace. This is God's common grace. Common grace means that even though sin continues and multiplies, God makes sure that good and beautiful things also continue. Even though we are sinful and reject God, He still blesses even those who don't trust in Him and don't look to Him and are not His children. He still blesses them. He sends them rain. He sends them food in season. This is common grace. The grace of God that's different from the grace that saves. It's a grace that still blesses in the midst of sin and rebellion and evil. So even as sin continues and multiplies, God ensures that beauty, technology, industry, these things will also grow and advance and bless the world. And so we see Jubal bringing music and musical instruments into the world. We see Zillah bringing technology, metallurgy into the world. So that's one small way we see the promise of God enduring, that though sin continues, it won't be all there is to the story. There will be beauty. There will be improvement. There is common grace spread abroad. But we also see the promise of God in that little story tucked away among the lists of deaths in chapter 5. Beginning in verse 21, when Enoch had lived 75 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the first example of the cycle of death being broken. Everyone else before and after Enoch, it lists their years, their children, and it says, and he died. And he died. It's just predictable. So if you read that 3, 4, 5 times, and all of a sudden you're smacked with this, Enoch, and he doesn't die. You wonder, what happened? What's going on here? Enoch stands out, and we get some clarity on that later in Scripture. In Hebrews 11, we're told that by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. In the life of Enoch, we get just a glimpse of the hope that we have. The hope not that we, by our own efforts, would somehow overcome death or outsmart it or cheat it, but the hope that God will take us. The psalmist expresses this in Psalm 49. He says, God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, which is the grave, for he will receive me. And that word receive in Hebrew is the exact same word that is said of Enoch, take. Our hope, if we are to leave and be redeemed from the grave, is that God himself will take us. He will receive us. Death looms over all history, all life. But God, so to speak, looms over death, able to overcome its power. What he does in Enoch is he shows us what he will do for all of us in Jesus. Enoch walked with God, walked in faith, we are told in Hebrews. And God removes the power of death over him. And that's the promise that Jesus gives to all who follow him. In John 11, at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus says to Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is the promise given that what we see glimpsed in Enoch, that God will take, God will himself overcome death. We see how he does that in Jesus. It says that Enoch walked with God, and then God took or received him. We walk with God by trusting and following Jesus. And everyone who does that never needs to fear death. Because Jesus has defeated death, we believe, as we sang earlier, death is now but my entrance into glory. In every generation, that hope endures because God has demonstrated his power over death. Enoch gave a glimpse of that promise and power. Jesus fulfills it. There's one more way in these verses that we see the promise of God enduring. Going back to the first promise of the gospel made after the first sin, God says to Satan in Genesis 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he, singular, the offspring of the woman, shall bruise your head, Satan. He's going to step on your head, crush you. You will bruise his heel. He will be wounded. He will be hurt in this process. But he, the one seed of the woman, will bring salvation. Now that promise had to stick in the head of Adam and Eve. This promise that through their children, one would come who would defeat evil. So the hope of salvation comes through the offspring of the woman. But then in the very next chapter, what did we see happen? She's got two sons. One of them is dead, and the other one killed him. So much for that promise. I've got two sons. Neither one of them is doing anything to defeat evil. One's been crushed by it. The other is ruled over by it. So in verse chapter 4, 25, Adam knew his wife again. She bore a son and called his name Seth. Seth means appointed or given. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. Eve names him Seth as a confession of her faith. She sees now that her salvation and the salvation of the world is in God's hands. The Lord will provide what they need. The Lord will ensure that hope is not cut off. Eve chose that name basically to testify, God's got this. I can trust Him. It seems like things are falling apart, but God makes sure that the hope and the promise continues. Seth was to be a living testimony that God was calling the shots. No matter how hard the enemy tries to undo the plan, even if Cain kills Abel, God's work will surely continue. His promises will not fail. God has appointed a way of salvation. That's the promise that we need to cling to today. No matter what happens, God is in control. His plan to save His children will not fail. And so we read after Seth's birth in verse 26, at that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. God's people are waiting, they're anticipating, they're hoping. As long years go by and sin's curse continues and perpetuates, they remember that God has appointed a time and a means of salvation, and they call on Him, they look to Him, they admit, God, You are the one who will save. You are the one that will help. Calling on God, calling on the name of the Lord, that's a big phrase that describes our whole posture towards Him. Who we worship, where we find our hope, where we look to for direction, where we find our identity. It's not just using His name when we pray. That's not all that calling on God's name means. It's looking to Him as our King, as our Savior. Trusting that as we read in Joel 2:32 and other places in Scripture, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation won't come from defeating Cain and his evil descendants. It won't come from working hard to make a better world for ourselves and our descendants. It won't come from checking off boxes in our religious and spiritual life. Salvation will only come from calling on God, looking to Him for purpose and for direction, trusting that He has appointed a way of rescue no matter what seems to stand in the way, no matter how dark the hour. This is unchanged through generations. No new program, no new society, no new philosophy will change this. The promise of God endures, and it is the only way. I started out this sermon by looking at Ecclesiastes, reminding us that there is nothing new under the sun. Sin continues, its curse multiplies, and it's that same pessimistic outlook that led Benjamin Franklin to say that there's only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes. But on the authority of Scripture, we can add at least one more thing to that list from an unexpected source in Scripture. The prophet Jeremiah witnessed almost 1,500 years after Lamech. Jeremiah witnessed the sin of his nation get as bad as it could get. He witnessed what began with Cain and accelerated into the time of Lamech killing others. He witnessed that tendency multiply out in the people of Israel to idolatry, murder, unfaithfulness, bloodthirstiness, and every manner of evil imaginable. And he witnessed God in wrath and judgment punish that sin, wiping out the city. And after witnessing all that, Jeremiah wrote a book of grief and sorrow over the way that sin had filled the world. And right smack in the middle of this book that's named Lamentations, after sorrow, songs of lament and sorrow, right in the middle of it, Jeremiah calls to mind one thing under the sun that is in fact new. New every morning. In Lamentations 3, he prays, God, remember my affliction and my wanderings. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. In other words, sin endures and continues and it does not stop, and it grieves me and oppresses me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. In fact, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The curse of sin continues. I don't need to tell you that. We see it every day. We feel it in our own hearts. We see it in our own homes, in our hospitals, in our schools, in our workplaces, in the halls of government, everywhere in the world. We see the curse of sin continue, but the steadfast love of the Lord, His promises endure. They do not cease. Great is His faithfulness. In Jesus, the promise to end the curse, the promise to defeat death, and the promise to give His people rest, that is something you can count on. Let us hope in Him and sing of His great faithfulness this morning.